All right, we are clear. It's our national hour live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne show. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As we get into our national edition, which means pick it up where we just left it off last week as the world turns in Vancouver.
Yeah. Never a dull moment.
A dull moment. Rick Dhaliwal will join us in a couple of minutes here. We had him on last time, and it just seems like this storyline of JT Miller is like grown arms and legs and turned into like a 12-foot monster right now for the Canucks.
So reported that he was almost traded, almost kept out of the lineup. I believe our Elliot Friedman reported that on Saturday night. Rangers were rumored to be the other team. Sounds like perhaps Zibanejad.
No. I told you guys there. He shut that down.
Okay.
But there's a bunch of guys from Rangers farm system that got scratched in their games. There was a bunch of rumors swirling.
There was some talk of Lafreniere, which I cannot see. Just even a little bit that the New York Rangers would give up on a 23-year-old for a 31-year-old JT Miller.
Why?
No. Someone explain that to me.
That wouldn't make a ton of sense, would it?
No. But the name that I did hear was Philip Hedel.
Yeah, I could see
that's the name that I heard along with defenseman Ryan Lindgren and maybe a first rounder.
Yeah. Like a heavily protected first.
Puck moving defenseman. I mean, Ryan Lindgren is a tough player.
He's not big.
But he's tough.
Plays a hard game.
He also can get hurt on occasion.
Because of that.
And he is a pending UFA free agent.
Yeah, I mean,
does that make more sense to you?
It does. That type of trade? Totally. That totally adds up to me. Obviously, there'd be other pieces involved and the pick and protections. But it feels like they're getting close to something. Feels like the Canucks have some idea what they would take. And it does feel like it's Miller, not Pettersson, that's more likely to go, right?
We'll get to Rick Dhaliwal on here momentarily. But it just seems like in the last few weeks, like there's been gasoline poured all over this, and does it lend to you that something again may have happened in the short while between JT Miller and maybe Rick Tocchet? Because we saw an episode on the bench where he was at the end of the bench and maybe some words were exchanged. I mean, we'll ask Rick, but
when it was going well last year, Kipper, he benched him a couple times. Like, that seems to be the relationship.
That moment, Tocchet says he didn't bench him. Tocchet just says he gave him the what for about, you know, knowing when to go, knowing when to not go, because he's made a bad dump and kind of was caught in the middle, and that Miller moved himself to the end of the bench. Like, that was like a voluntary.
This year or last year?
This year,
okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with everyone's relationships there, but they did get a huge win against the Oilers.
All right, let's welcome Rick in, co-host of Donnie and Dolly, the team on Czech Television in Vancouver, man. You're our savior in all of this. By the time we're done here, we're going to have it all figured out, Rick. Got me?
Hey, first of all, happy to be back with you guys. Oh, boy. Last time, I got in trouble from people in Vancouver. They thought I sucked up to you. I read Kipper's book, Born, Played, and Vernon. I got it from a lot of people.
Buddy, Sammy's the Leaf lover, so if you want to just give him a shot or 10, go ahead. Yeah. You've got our blessing.
Oh, yeah, have at him.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now, we absolutely, and I'll tell you something else, the people of Vancouver do not like your city.
So true.
I love it. That's awesome.
You know, it's funny, when I moved here.
Toronto, think of the bank.
It's funny, when I moved here, I thought it was just like a one-sided thing. People in Toronto told me, oh, we don't care about Vancouver. They don't like it out there either. They're always talking a bunch of sushi eating whatever's out there.
So let's just work towards a Vancouver-Toronto final then this year. Wouldn't that be great?
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great? Just that would be unbelievable. But the way they're going right now, Kipper, I don't see that. Well, especially from this end. But this JT Miller thing took off on the weekend, guys. It really did. So, it just exploded.
Rick, what happened? Were more words exchanged? Was there somebody mentioned to me maybe something was said maybe between Tocchet and JT Miller? Do you see anything in the last week, 2 weeks that has escalated the need to move him?
Yeah, I what you just heard, a lot of people are hearing. But I got to say this, there's so much stuff out there, Kipper. It's like it's hard to decipher what is true, what is not. But I will tell you this. Go back to the night the Canucks lost at home to the Kings 5-1. Embarrassing, right, guys?
Yeah, not good.
Is it not a coincidence that the day after the Miller trade talks heat up after that, I think management got fed up and just said, okay, something's wrong here majorly. Then Canucks management huddled up at Rogers Arena Saturday morning in hopes of getting a Miller trade done. Guys, they don't huddle and get together like that until trade deadline. When I got tipped off that management was meeting Saturday morning at Rogers Arena, I was like, okay, the radar, something's going on here. But I want to say this. Management decided 6 weeks ago, guys, 6 weeks ago, that they had to trade Miller or Pettersson, change the chemistry and the feel of the dressing room. But Kipper, to your point about, you know, confrontations and this and that, there are people that believe that. There's a lot of stuff out there. The toughest job for us right now is to find out what the truth is and report on it, because there's so much stuff out there. Like, the Canucks have been in the news for the wrong reasons for too long, guys. It's been going on and on and on, and it's time to quiet things down in Vancouver.
Our Elliot Friedman, of course, you heard him Saturday night and the report that maybe Vancouver and the New York Rangers are close to something, but with Zibanejad's no move clause situated, are you hearing other names? Are you feeling that they were working on something? What from your end, how close was this?
Okay, so this regime loves two guys in New York, Lafreniere and Schneider. This regime's been after those two guys for quite some time. Lafreniere is Emily Castonguay's former agent, right? Or yep. She's the former agent for Lafreniere. This regime loves those two guys, but they're not available. They're not available. And one of the things we heard is like Hedl, Lindgren, and a first. Like, you know, you're not getting Lafreniere. You're not getting Schneider. The Canucks can ask till, you know, the cows come home. And the Rangers don't want to give up on those two guys. But those are the two guys the management really liked. Obviously, the deal fell apart. Were there conditions on the first round pick? I don't know. But we're trying to get down to the bottom of that. But look, and you had Zibanejad, Kipper, that was so bang on. And like, there's so much stuff out there right now and just trying to piece everything together. I do want to tell you one thing. Miller did not ask for a trade. His agent, Brian Bartlett, made that very clear to me Saturday night. This is not Miller asking out. This is not the player going to the team and saying, get me out of here. He's obviously had a tough year, the leave of absence, the issues with Pettersson. His points are way down. He's had a really tough year, just on and off the ice. But he did not ask for a trade. I want to make that clear right now.
How pressing is this then? Like, what is the desperation to get it done? Is there any chance that just a little time it blows over? It has to happen now.
No. Oh, it has to. And from what I'm hearing, they're not stopping today. I mean, they want to get this done. Teams have permission to talk to his agent. Elliot dropped the Hurricanes this morning on our show, and there's two players that the Canucks like on Carolina, Kotkaniemi, the center, and Roslovich. Roslovich is, you know, Canucks tried to get him when he was in Columbus a couple of years ago. We're going to see where this goes, guys. But, yeah, you know, like I told you guys 6 weeks ago, they decided they got to change the feel of the team. There, you know, there was the issues in Miller-Pettersson, and they kind of sat down and said, okay, it's time to move one of these guys. I don't think that's changed yesterday or today. I think the pursuit is to still try and get something done with Miller.
As far if we can just go back to the Rangers a little bit with Philip Hedel and a meat and potatoes kind of defenseman and Ryan Lindgren and a first, how would that market respond to that? To me, that's way too underwhelming for me.
Yeah. But Kipper, they know they're not going to win a Miller trade. Look at the Horvat trade. You know, sure, they used the first to get Aronic, but what is left from the Bo Horvat deal? The Bouvillier left after a few weeks. Attu Ratu's in the minors, and, you know, he's trending to be a bottom six center. So what did you get? You know, the Bo Horvat deal wasn't super like, oh, my God, look what we got. And I think the Canucks are peddling a guy whose production's down from 103 points. You know, they're peddling a guy who's got issues with the other star player in the dressing room, and they're peddling a guy who had to take a leave of absence. I think they know they probably aren't going to win this deal.
Do you feel like there's some sort of like internal struggle going on here? Like Tocchet would want to keep Miller, or Alvin would want to keep Pettersson, or, you know, like, is there any sort of battle about who should go?
You do hear, we do know that Rick Tocchet, you know, Miller is a Rick Tocchet type guy.
Right.
Like, you look at the way Tocchet played the game of hockey. It was fun to watch. He's one of the best power forwards of all time. And, you know, it would be hard for anyone to not to believe that Tocchet loves what Miller brings to the table. Right. And Miller is, when he's on, you guys saw Saturday, right? You guys saw Saturday, 18 for 23 in the faceoff circle up against McDavid. And two assists first period, third star. We did that. That's the Miller that Tocchet loves, is that guy right there on Saturday night. And that's why there's a lot of interest in this player. He has struggled defensively. You saw the LA Kings' second goal on Thursday, right? He got beat at the point, and he struggled without the puck this year a bit. But you saw in Montreal the 4 points. You saw last night. You understand why so many teams like this player. He's just having a tough emotional season, and now they've elected, you know, to move him, and they're going to try and do it.
You're watching and listening to Rick Dhaliwal, co-host of Donnie and Dolly team on Czech television in Vancouver. Carolina, is there any talk about Martin Natchez at all? You think they wouldn't give him up for JT Miller?
I can't see for... You know, when the Carolina-Vancouver talks were for Pettersson last year, Kipper, and the Canucks really liked that player a lot.
Yep.
But that's a lot for Carolina to give up. That just, I mean, that guy's a wonderful player for
a
32-year-old.
Yeah, he's a nice piece if they could land him.
That's a very expensive piece. I don't see the Canucks getting that for Miller.
Yeah.
You know?
So tell us that game Saturday night, what did you make of the Canucks put in a pretty valiant performance against a good team in a big spot?
It didn't really squash the talk, though, did it?
Yeah.
Didn't slow it down.
No, but do remember the Canucks get beaten Winnipeg 6-1, come home, get embarrassed by the Kings 5-1. And they finally jump out to a 3-0 lead in the first period. They've been dropping three goals to the other team the last two. But keep in mind the Oilers, and I'm not sitting here saying anything, weren't they playing in 8 different time zones in the last 2 weeks? And they were playing their 6th game in 10 days, and Canucks pounced on them pretty good. That looked like a tired Oilers team to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Miller, I got to give him credit, you know, earlier in the day, there was a chance Miller wasn't going to play. And there was a trade close to the Rangers, and the Canucks said, you know, talked to Miller and said, hey, look, we might be close. And then that guy goes from possibly being traded to having one of his best games of the year that night. That was a very good effort by Miller.
As far as Patrick Alvin, he met the media today, right, Rick? I didn't have a chance to hear anything of substance for you.
Yeah, a couple things. He did not deny the Miller trade talks. He can't because the reporting has been credible. He knows it. When you make two top six centers available in Canada, you are inviting the national media into your backyard for a massive barbecue.
And we showed up.
And Kipper and Bourne. Hey. Kipper is stirring the pot with Zibanejad, Devils. You make two top six centers available in this country, and you are inviting the national media for a hell of a party.
But and we don't.
He can't deny the reporting.
We don't want it to bring your own booze either, party.
Let me get this in, Kipper. He made an interesting comment about Rick Tocchet, who's in the final year of his contract. He likes Tocchet, sees him long term, but it's a two-way street. You know what he means by that? Tocchet's got a clause in the contract where he can walk away. I think the drama in Vancouver has taken its toll on Tocchet. You can see it in his face. You can see his body language. He's not paid to babysit. He's done a lot of babysitting this year in Vancouver. He's paid to coach. And it'll be interesting to see if he's back. Tocchet said today, Brock Besser said today, this is the most noise he has seen in Vancouver since he got here. Injuries, trade rumors, personality conflicts. It's just like Vancouver's in the news for all the wrong reasons all the time. And so keep an eye on Tocchet. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with him, guys. But they do want to probably lock him up long term, but he's got a say in it as well.
When is his contract up? Do you think he would pull Paul Maurice and just say thanks, but no thanks?
End of this year.
Yeah, end of this year. End of this year.
And you could see him just saying, I don't want to come back.
Well, he's got a clause. And that's why Alvin said today it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. So Tocchet, but you could tell. Tocchet, you know, he's been terse this year in interviews. It's getting to him, all the outside noise.
Yeah.
Right? All the outside noise is getting to him.
Hey, you mentioned Besser said that he's not remembered, you know, a season with this much noise. I read a couple articles, and Kip, even in your trade list, like Besser's a name that's in there just as his contract is up and he needs one. And is there a possibility that if things don't get figured out here, he's a guy that ends up getting moved?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because Alvin said we're still evaluating Besser. When the time's right, we'll make a decision. Well, hold on a second here. Talks have been super quiet. I believe the last time these two sides talked was in early December. Both sides know what the other side wants in terms of term and money. This guy scored 40 goals last year. This guy scored a team-leading 7 in the playoffs. He scored 4 while his finger was broken in a practice in Nashville. When Miller took a shot, broke his finger, he still scored 4 after that. I'm starting to question if the Canucks believe in this player. They signed JT Miller in September of his UFA season, and you guys are you're taking Besser down to the wire? Like, something's up here, right?
I think they like him, and it's my understanding that they made a pitch to him to re-sign him. So obviously either the money or the term's not there, but they'd like to have him back, but it has to be the right deal for them, and they're not there yet, but they do want him back.
Okay, and so, Kipper, to that, I will say, like, they're not showing urgency, right? Like, the trade deadline's 6 weeks away. Like, you know, they signed other UFAs way earlier than this. Like, I mean, for me, I do know the offers have gone back and forth. A term might be the biggest issue. Do you want to go 7-8 years with a guy who's probably not the fastest guy in the world? But do you want to – he compensates for his lack of speed with great hockey stance and a great shot. Like, he's 10th all-time in Canucks goal scoring. Like, what else did – he has done nothing but score goals in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. You know, a 47 – I lost you guys. 47 goals last year. Second this year, Besser's got me fired up. I dropped my phone. Listen, what do you got to do? He's second on the team in goals. I don't know what he's got to do to get a contract. I really don't.
So, Rick, we got so many of these storylines on the hands of Jimmy Rutherford, basically, and Patrick, of course. But, like, where is this fork in the road for Jimmy Rutherford here, in your opinion?
That's a great question. And don't kid yourself. Jimmy Rutherford runs this hockey club. And I'll tell you something else. Alvin did the presser today. A lot of people want to hear what Jimmy's got to say. Jimmy's a great interview. And, you know, he hasn't done media this year, which has surprised some of us in the Vancouver media. I would love to hear Rutherford publicly. But if they trade Miller, they might have to take a little bit of a step back. This hockey club at one point had Miller, Pettersson, and Horvat up the middle. Three great centers. You lose Miller, you lose Horvat, you're down to Pettersson, who right now is on pace for 55 points this year, guys, making 11.6. Other than the game in Toronto when he won the Selke Award, he hasn't done much in the last five games. He's got 1 point, no points last three. And so the center ice position I'm looking at, if they trade Miller, really concerned about that. But take hold on one thing. Rutherford is the guy that makes bold moves. And Rutherford's the guy that absolutely is the guy for me here in Vancouver that is not afraid to make bold moves. And if you see one here in the next little while, don't be surprised.
Canucks wake up today 1 point out of the wild card spot in the West. They're right on that sort of fringe line. Do you think their performance in the coming weeks will affect any of their decision making?
That's a great, like, are you, if you're the Canucks, are you buying, selling? Are you doing both at the deadline? Like, what are you doing? Right. Like, you know, and Miller could be the first domino to fall. Like, I don't know if they do it today or at the deadline or in a week or 2 weeks or at the Four Nations. I don't know what's going on, but they almost did it yet on Saturday. You can take that to the bank, guys. They almost did it on the weekend. Mm-hmm. They were damn close to getting it done. Nobody in Vancouver saw this season. Last year, we didn't see that, and we just didn't see a big drop-off and a fall like this. Like this one, no one predicted. Nobody predicted this season. No one. Zero. Zilch. None.
Rick, just in terms of Demko's return and the build-up again to be a premier goaltender in this league, how's his progress in your opinion?
Well, he was out Kipper 8-9 months. And it's going to take time. And, you know, and then he got the back spasms in Seattle. He had the popliteus. That's the Vezina candidate last year. Canucks need him to get back. But we can't expect miracles, like, right away with him. I mean, I really want to see because I'm going to tell you something else going on here in Vancouver, is they want to re-sign Lankinen, right? They really like Lankinen a lot. But Lankinen's put himself in a position to get a lot of money and turn next year. And so what his agent is saying is, I want to wait till the salary cap number comes out, and then I want to see what the salary cap number is. And I also want to see if Demko's going to get hurt again. Demko's health could play a role in Lankinen's signing, but I want to see Demko go on a, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks without getting injured and just to show some durability. That's the biggest thing with Demko right now, is the durability.
Yeah, that's a real concern. So when you look at the teams around the Canucks, you know, the one thing that makes you think they'll be buyers is, like, who are they not better than? Like, they're probably better than St. Louis, Utah, Seattle, you know, and Calgary doesn't really want to be buyers, it doesn't seem like. So they're probably the most likely to make the playoffs out of that group.
Yeah, but hold it a second. I got to give Calgary credit.
Yeah,
I've had a million people in the hockey world tell me that the Flames are going to fold like a cheap tent any day. They're not doing it.
No.
You know, they got the goaltender who's playing really well. Huberto's, you know, and Kadri's just a solid, solid play. Hey, guys, Calgary's not going away. And that's a big problem for the Canucks right now. Because if Calgary would just go away and fold their tent, they'd be in a whole lot of a better position. They just beat the Jets the other day after back-to-back losses with the Blues. Guys, a credit to the Flames. Like, nobody saw this, right? And if they keep playing it the way, they're showing a lot of heart. They're well coached. You know, Ryan Huska, former Kamloops Blazer. I got to get those BC junior teams in. But they're doing really well. Calgary's doing well, and I've got to give them a ton of credit because, boy, there's a lot of people out there just waiting for them to fail.
We're going to get into this more after the break here, but I got to ask you about pending suspensions, Myers and McDavid. Oh. Is it taking a little bit longer than we would have anticipated? The hearing went this afternoon. Here it's 5:25 Eastern, but you know, your thoughts on how this thing will shape out in the next few moments or in the next hour or two?
Myers just did an interview in Vancouver and he said, the optics don't look good, but he didn't really, mean to do that. But obviously, what's the player going to say? The optics on Myers don't look good. I don't know what he was thinking, what he was doing. But when it comes to McDavid and Garland, wow. Like, Garland did everything in his power to make sure he held him up. And McDavid, I'm sorry, he got away with the elbow in Minnesota there the other day. I don't think obviously we know he's not getting away with this one. But you know what? Here's the problem for the Canucks right now with Myers. He's their second right shot D, and right now Juleson's hurt. So they just called up Friedman today. They're going to be hoping. The Canucks are being hoping Myers doesn't go for 3 or 4 games because Juleson's a little banged up right now. And Juleson's your good 6-7 guy right now in Vancouver. They like him a lot. But Canucks are really going to be hoping, guys, that he does not get more than 2 or 3 games.
I feel really bad that Christmas already passed and I can't get you a phone stand now. I got to wait till next December.
You know what? Holy smokes.
He's got it balanced on a Swiss ball.
I'm balancing it on my laptop.
Wow. You're doing a great job. Hey, listen, there anything you want to tell us now that will help your fellow Vancouver fans that you really hate us here?
No, there's nothing, because Vancouver hates Toronto for simple reasons. Everything in the world evolves around Toronto. The Canucks can make a big trade tomorrow, and it'll be page 70 on the Sportsnet website. Now, Marner hurts his finger. Hold it a second. Marner hurts his finger at practice, and it's the top story on the website. And that's why Vancouver hates Toronto.
Give the people what they want, Rick.
Buddy,
we give them what they want.
We, on our national hour, we couldn't get to you and the Canucks fast enough. Forget about that website. This is all that matters, the real Kipper and Bourne show.
Yeah. Hey, Kipper, another one for you on Marner. I was in Toronto at Christmas, and I had breakfast with Darren Ferris and Marner's agent. And so, you know what, Kipper? We were ripping you pretty good at breakfast. I'll tell you that one.
Oh, God. Yes. Yes, as many people on the internet have told me, I should get a cut from him. Rick, fabulous stuff today again, pal.
All right, guys, always a pleasure. Regardless what people say, you two are the best two guys in Ontario.
Thanks, brother. We appreciate you.
Rick Dhaliwal, great job covering the Canucks.
What a team to cover.
But it's like, you don't want to put your phone down when it comes to Vancouver Canucks right now.
He was putting it down over and over.
Yeah, except Rick there. But
yeah, no, lots going on. I did want to get in on the last thing that Rick said there about Garland. Great play tackling McDavid, pinning him to the ice, holding him. Because the Oilers, you can't win. The ref puts up his arm and you're going to wait for a penalty. You have the puck.
Do you want to go to game time, and then we'll, after the break, we'll get into Garland and McDavid.
I mean, I've just seen Garland's face in that turtleneck, like the most cross-checkable face in the league.
No, you shouldn't get suspended for cross-checking it.
No. Yeah.
It's so bad. It's still a great play by him.
As far as I know, we're still waiting on the suspensions.
This is cross-checking.
He's going to get two.
Nothing officially has been reported just yet.
All right, it's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So it's Martin Luther King Day in the States today. Lots of live action going on right now. Looking at the games that haven't started yet, a couple good ones tonight. I think probably the best game of the night is the Leafs and the Lightning in Toronto. Lightning, pretty big underdogs tonight. plus 120 in Toronto. Toronto Maple Leafs minus 140 on home ice. The Lightning are going with their backup goalie tonight to hide Vasilevskiy from Toronto because they shoot holes in him every time
they're
they play
afraid.
Against
them. They're so afraid.
So don't really know. Don't really have a feel for this one tonight. Be interesting to see. Maybe the Leafs are hot coming off that game on Saturday, but Tampa's been playing well. Be a good game tonight. Looking at the LA Kings later on tonight, and the only reason I'm bringing this game up is because I think it's a fantastic jersey battle. Pittsburgh in LA to take on the Kings. Those Kings black that they've gone back to this year are fantastic.
Are we going to talk about Pittsburgh after the break?
We absolutely are. The LA Kings are big favorites on in LA, minus 190, Pittsburgh plus 160, back down on the stock down after their hot little stretch that they had there. And the Winnipeg Jets are in Utah to take on the Hockey Club, minus 185 favorites in Utah. The Hockey Club is plus with 155 on the other side of the money line. Now is game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
I can't tell you how many people since we did the Bettman interview, the Utah thing brought that to my mind. Since we did the Bettman interview, how many people wrote me and sent me the clip and said, how does Bettman not think state taxes affect the league?
Yeah, I mean, listen.
I mean, I had a flood of people.
Yeah.
You're not gonna sit there and be like, you're wrong, Mr. Commissioner.
I'm not sure he...
He doesn't believe it.
100% believes what he said.
That don't make no sense.
Oh, okay.
I think it's his easiest way to get out of it.
Yeah, well, he has to. He had the canned argument or whatever, but he did say they're looking at it. I do think that there is some hope that they will eventually do something. It felt to me like he was aware.
Here's the biggest issue is that whatever it is, it's within a small salary cap. When the cap goes up, those numbers will only get bigger and bigger. So the advantages go from like $1.5 million to $3 million to $4 million to $5 million.
Yeah.
It's only going to separate.
That's a good point. I was thinking the flat cap made every dollar tougher to get, more important, but you're right. The separation.
Wait till it's $110 million or $120 million salary cap.
Right.
And then watch a guy go, well, why would I sign equal there when I can make $5 million more here?
Yeah, 17 up there is worth 14 down here, you know, whatever the numbers end
up being. It's not going away.
No. And I do think that people only recently started paying attention to it because of the flat cap. So when he's citing Los Angeles winning cups and stuff, it's kind of irrelevant.
It was also 2013.
Yeah, things have changed. So I'm curious to see if they look into this.
Sam Reinhart makes 8.5. End of story.
Yeah, scores 57, signs for 8.5. I think it matters.
Bit of a competitive advantage. Let's hit the break.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk about Connor McDavid and the hearing that went on today, also with Myers, probably about 3-4 hours ago, was concluded. Will we get an answer before 6? If not, probably. We'll give you our opinion of that and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. A reminder this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Now it's getting to the point where people are like sending pictures in of phone stands for Rick to order.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But here's what
Jason McKinnon sent me that.
The thing he said that baffled me, he said, it's leaning on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you a Zoom link. Just use your computer.
Maybe it's more complicated than that.
Okay, you know? Can I just say something here? If JB and I, for whatever reason, decided to let you go, I think Rick could sit in that chair seamlessly.
Oh, he would.
Right?
No, please don't let that happen because he will be way better than me. And everyone will like him way more. Like, I'm immediately dead if he comes
to the national audience.
We wouldn't
better.
Miss a beat, He's man, fantastic. If Rick came in here.
He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love that guy.
Wow. Okay. So, no decision officially in yet.
Nope.
Like standard no brain stuff, right, for you?
With the McDavid one?
And Myers.
Yeah.
2 games each.
2-2.
So just a couple of deuces? Yeah, I think so. I mean, if it was 1-1, I could live with it. I know this is like the whole what about thing for everyone on like Myers and McDavid. They The Myers one is definitely, to me, like the clear two. Worse. Guy skate at you, kabam, right to the head.
He's also 6'10". That doesn't help.
Right.
Yeah, the Myers, and it was Evan Bouchard, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Where I think Bouchard gave him a little bit of a baseball swing, mm-hmm. Like a really weak-ass kind of stick swing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know whether or not, like, why it would have led to a cross-check for Myers. Like,
yeah, the optics are bad.
The one that I totally understand is McDavid's to Garland.
Yeah.
Right?
Which, of course, you also can't excuse and should be suspended.
Oh, we got
but,
it.
Oh, yeah. Anyways. But, like, Garland held him in, like, for 10 seconds before that. They're down 3-2. They have the puck. And McDavid was rendered useless. So it was a frustration. Ah, it's pretty bad.
It's the exact same thing as Austin Matthews. It's two games.
Now it's just like, listen, it's so clean. It's just like, ding.
He's the best player in the world. He wants to go to the net, and he's being held on, and the officials are too stupid to blow it down. Like, call it.
That's a good point.
If you are dumb enough, it doesn't matter. He is the best player in the world who's getting mauled.
Yeah.
Okay. Call the penalty. Must have been about 12 seconds to go. And now the officials are going, okay, do I want to blow it down? They have the puck. Maybe it's a scoring chance.
Well, that's it.
It's not enough of a reason.
Well, the thing is, if you're the Oilers have the puck. In hockey, you call a penalty on the Canucks when the Canucks touch it. So
it was a mugging beyond belief. If McDavid would have baseball swung Garland after getting mauled like that, I wouldn't blame him one bit.
You'd understand it. I do think it's a problem in hockey. It's part of what we love about it as a sport. And hate is that in the dying minute, it makes total sense to completely accost the other team's best player. Even if you take a penalty, they have the puck, and so it's not going to get blown down, so you might as well just jump on his back. It's a flaw with our sport.
That's wrong. You're right about that, but the act is wrong.
It's wrong. I get it.
We have the exact replica of Austin Matthews.
No one's saying don't suspend him. No one here said that.
It's a two-game suspension, yes. And it was a stupid play by the refs to, you know, not maybe get involved a little earlier, but there's two guys battling. He's eligible to be battled with just because he's the best. He's Wayne Gretzky. You can't touch him. You're allowed to battle with him.
That's not a battle.
But I'm telling you right now.
I understand.
I'm telling you right now.
Is all we're saying.
Yeah. If I'm Connor McDavid and I say that's the behavior now for me, I'm cross checking forever for the rest of my career. Yeah. And you want to sit? You want to have people pay $200
to
see me sitting in the stands? That's your prerogative. But if this doesn't come to an end, or you don't start penalizing this right away. Then good luck selling your league without me.
Okay.
You know, I did have a junior coach that was like, someone is going to do that to you. You cross-check him in the teeth and we'll sort it out later. And I know you don't do that anymore.
Their cross-checking wasn't for Garland. It was for anyone else that wants to think that they're going to tackle me. I am knocking your teeth out with my stick.
Right now on our website, Mark Spector has an article. What's it called? Why Connor McDavid is taking justice into his own hands. Because it is getting a little greasy this year, right? The one thing that I really like in it, so this is year 9 for McDavid in the league. 7 of the 9 years he's been inside the top 10 in penalties drawn, often first, you know, and sometimes second. This year he's 47th in the NHL in penalties drawn, per 60.
That's absurd.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
He has
the puck on his stick.
This is just penalties drawn. That's not per 60. Per 60, the Athletic had it. He's 232nd or something like that in penalties drawn.
And he has the puck on his stick half the game every game.
More than anyone else in the league.
Other than Quinn Hughes.
Yes.
Well,
I think including Hughes, maybe not. Maybe it's just among forwards. But he has the puck more than anyone. So part of it, the onus is on the league. And so Corey Perry has some comments like, we need to protect our star players. How do you feel about that? Like, should the league do more for McDavid than they do for Steven Lorenz?
Well, yeah. Definitely. It would help if Edmonton had a little bit more, I think, in their roster besides a 40-year-old Corey Perry.
Maybe Evander Kane coming back helps.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah. I just... Is there anyone else? Does it?
Well, they tried Josh Brown.
Where you? I'm not sure. He can't play.
Took
he just can't play.
Penalty. Yeah. Almost yeah. immediately against the Wild. Was that the just, game you were doing, Borny?
They're hard.
Against the Wild?
Yeah. They're hard to find. There's not that many out there.
So you think maybe deadline, would that be something they would consider? Or just
I don't know.
Not they're, for playoffs.
Look at their style of play. There's never been around toughness.
Right.
So
I will say we're not on in Edmonton, and we are on in Vancouver. And I will just say the text line, I wouldn't say agrees with us letting Connor McDavid off the hook here.
Whatever. Not
I'm just
for
saying, oh, no, like, no. Suspend him. I'm okay.
We've said that.
No. It's suspendable.
I will reiterate. Suspend him.
Hey, and for the
we're
record.
Saying to support him getting
for the
suspended.
Record, he was battling the whole. Hey, he battles the whole game. He's,
for the
he's
record,
eligible to be
I,
held on.
I love that Garland.
Of course.
Like, would tackle him. Like,
Garland.
Who wouldn't want Garland on his team
That's
tackling the,
right the
best
play.
Player? And even if he got 2 minutes, it's better the alternative than possibly having the greatest player in the league go to the front of the net and knock one in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So for
good for Garland,
for
good for McDavid for doing
good,
it.
Good for both of them.
Suspend him and let's move on.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But call the penalty.
Yes.
Sure.
That's all.
Sure.
Just call the penalty.
That's the right answer.
But even if they do blow it dead, is there a chance he doesn't just do the exact same thing?
You can just keep doing it. It's the right play defense.
No.
Okay.
The moment he's down and the whistle blows and they take Garland into the penalty box, now they got about 8 or 10 seconds to come up with a play shorthanded, win a draw, and you will get your one last chance to tie the game.
Can I give you my rule? If you take a penalty in the D zone in the final 30 seconds or whatever, they tack 30 seconds on. If it's in the final minute, it comes with a 30-second clock. Because why should you be able to, in the last 10 seconds, jump all over the back and someone lift their stick with your hand? It tacks time on.
Because you weren't good enough in 59 minutes and 50 seconds. That's why you don't tack it on.
Okay.
That's actually interesting, though. I've never heard that before.
No, you don't get rewarded. You just take a penalty.
Well, that's the thing. It's just we incentivize penalty taking in those situations. And I, for one, would rather defenders have to be a little cautious, which would free up a little more offense.
But, I mean, how often? Remember when Matthews cross-checked Dahlin?
Yeah, you sure do.
And how happy we were about it?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what stars, that's you need. Like, all of them have that edge. Sid's fought multiple times in his career. McKinnon's
got that
edge.
McKinnon hit a guy with his helmet.
I don't know. Are you calling out Matthews for not doing it?
Like,
or you want him to do it?
I do. I want these momentary feelings of your superstar being pissed off and having the drive to cross-check someone in the face. I love that.
Yeah.
You want that. It just happens so little with, I think McDavid's got a little more greasiness to his game.
For the record, we sound like Neanderthals, but this is part of, intimidation is real and part of creating space for yourself, what you'll accept. It's like standing up to a bully. If you just take it all the time, the Leafs are actually a fairly good example of a team that people are like, oh, we can pick on them?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's also an organization over the last, I don't know, 10 years that were hot and cold on tough guys for Sid Crosby. But he's battled this as well over the years where he is just, a lot of people say Sid needs to be better protected.
One of my favorite all-time battles was Crosby-Giroux, and I think it was the first round of playoffs, maybe 7, 8 years ago, where Crosby hacked his hand at a face-off, and the two of them used to go right at it, and nasty, mean, cheap, dirty, because they're hockey players and they're competitive.
What was, and the quote about Sid being like, because I don't like him.
Yeah.
Or like he was like getting interviewed after playing against the Flyers. No, like, that was a great rivalry.
Yeah.
And Sid was in the middle of it. Sid's always in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And if you watch him now, if you watch him close, he gets away with murder out there. He hacks and whacks and cross-checks and like hooks and does all this stuff. And he just gets away with it because he's Sid. You hit a certain point of your career. I'm just not sure that like everyone's there yet.
When you're in the Amazon jungle, it's like having that machete to like cut a swath through the vines.
Yeah.
That's what it's like being McDavid.
Yes.
So sometimes when he swings the machete, I get it.
Just to go back before we maybe dive in deeper in Pittsburgh, Thursday, Vancouver is in Edmonton. So is the thought of definitely two games to keep both of them out of taking the heat off of that?
If the NHL knows marketing, they'll
Find
do one em. Game.
Find them.
Yeah. We want them back for that game.
Oh, my God,
a great point.
But will they go, we're just going to fuel it.
Dude, McDavid, I actually think it hurts McDavid. So he got suspended for a high hit on someone a year ago, I think. The Kempe hit, he hit him from behind and got fined. The Johansson one where he just got away with going, whoops, to the chin music. His name's coming up a little bit too much. If he just gets one game, it would look like promotion for the league, which,
yeah,
great. But
no, piss off Leaf fans.
Ooh, it would be not great.
It would piss off Leaf fans. But no one cares about that. Whatever. But I'm just saying, I love our text line.
Well, like, people, what do you got?
Hey, guys, McBaby fell on Garland and held him to start with. Open your eyes. McBaby is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Do you remember all the Crosby stuff, though? Crosby and people with the sexist Cindy. And,
yeah.
Gretzky, Crybaby, Lemieux, Crybaby.
Early in his career, Sid, there was actually a really, when he got in a fight with Ilya Kovalchuk, if you'll remember. And
who is a monster of a person.
And Sid was the only one who got the penalty. And on the power play, Kovalchuk scored and skated right by the penalty box and pointed right at him. Like, they've all, listen, stars go through this where people think they're a baby and
but
people think this.
The stars take so much more abuse that they're like, hey, ref, can I get a call? And everyone's like,
it's like the Shaq thing where it's like he could have got 1,000 more free throws in his career. He just gets hacked all the time. Guys are trying to hook and trip McDavid a lot.
So sometimes you complain. Even Perry said that he doesn't complain all the time, so we'll do it for him.
McBaby is too funny, though.
Is it?
It's just simple.
To me, it's so plain.
It's simple, McBaby.
All right, so a couple of tough stories out there on Penguins and Kyle Dubas.
Yeah.
Sammy, give us what you were telling me.
Hold on.
What do you got for us there?
Let me find it again. I just saw a thing here, and I'll send it or find it. Give me a second.
Essentially, the Penguins are primed. Well, not primed. Dubas is apparently okay with a full overhaul of the roster.
Okay.
They'll trade everyone.
Okay, so Sid.
Seems unlikely, doesn't it? But apparently they're willing to retain on Carlson. They're looking to move names. Sid is, like, different from the sport to me. He's not even included as a player. He's a Penguin.
I just don't believe for one second that he would sign this summer and all of these scenarios wouldn't have been covered by now.
Maybe JT Miller will go to Pittsburgh and Sid's off to Vancouver.
Somebody mentioned to me that...
Oh, my God.
That, like...
Nightmare.
JT wouldn't mind going to Pittsburgh, someone told me. And, again, this is just talking to a few people. Yeah. But
not telling us what you know.
Why would he entertain going there?
Well, people want to play with great players. And I'm not saying that flippantly. Like, that's when you have a great, it's like Josh Allen and the Bills, right? It's like the second there's you have a star, people want to play for that team.
I was hoping you'd bring that up.
Right. People want to play with McDavid. They don't want to go to Edmonton. They want to play with McDavid.
Yeah.
That's Sidney Crosby's no different.
Would a JT Miller to Pittsburgh shape them up for a better run next year?
Well, to get them in playoffs this year.
Like, who's your goalie?
Hey, their goalie's got
their goalie's an offensive dynamo. Hey. Let's give a little love to Nedeljkovic for a goal and an assist, first time in NHL history.
I think
fourth pro goal.
I think he tied Ryan Reeves in points that game.
How many goalies now have done that? No,
dozen.
Not goal and assist. Oh. I know he's the first.
Yeah, got to be a dozen have scored or 13.
No, like 20 something.
20? Yeah, okay.
He's the first goalie in the history of hockey to do it in the ECHL, AHL, and NHL.
Yeah, two in the American League.
Yeah.
Guy's got four pro goals.
Sick.
But hey, that saves their whole season right now.
Did you guys
could just market that like crazy.
Did you watch the Ottawa-Boston game on Saturday afternoon?
Yes, fantastic, what a game. Game.
And at the end of that game, they're pressuring. Swayman has the puck on his stick. And he tries the goalie goal when they're up one, turns it over right in the slot. 30 seconds later, Norris shoots it in, and then they lose in overtime. It's like
bad spot, man.
The goalie goal thing, it's like, you know, guys are a little horned up right now. In a one goal game, maybe off the glass.
To me, it's like, okay, you shot it in the net. Great, but we've seen it 20 times.
Yeah, like, you're the worst. Like, you're the worst. It's so cool, man. It's
the
so
reaction.
Cool.
The reactions now are over the top now.
No,
it's
disagree.
Not like it's not game seven.
No, it's cool.
It's cool, man.
And
it's
also cool. With the Lambeau Leap, it matters in the game, right? Put the game away for the boys.
I just got two words for you boys. Go Bills.
Buddy,
go Bills. Go NFL, according to Sam.
Hey, go Bills.
Once again, Toronto Maple Leaf disease out of you.
What do you mean?
They win one round and you're putting on the hoodie. Yeah. Like, why don't you save? Why don't you at least let them win next week?
Full disclosure.
And then put it on.
Full disclosure. I forgot I had this hoodie. I was in my closet. I was like, "Oh right!" So
they still get a win next week and wear the hoodie.
I will, and they're going to.
That was pretty cool, though. Good game.
Awesome.
All right. I don't know. I don't have time. But hey, thanks, Gus. I got five seconds.
Rick Dollywall.
Enjoy your games. We're back tomorrow.